is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live today from the George Jones pregame show starting at 5. Ask the GM at 4. Floyd Reese.
Changing the time.
Ah, it's a little wild.
What's going on?
Oh, man, we got Thursday night football, the Titans and the Jags, as we are live again from the George Jones. So let's get right into this game. And I need you to not be the GM for 1 second. I need you to not be the I need you to go from the micro level of this game, which I know you're worried about, but you would be worried about the Titans if they were playing the Dolphins, correct?
Every game.
And the Dolphins are maybe one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life. And you would still be worried about it. And I understand that. But I want to go to a macro level view, from the micro level view. And that is, if the Titans lose today, like, I can't even stomach the thought of the Titans losing today to Jacksonville. I mean, I've watched every show. Because last week, on Thursday, they talked about, you know, who's worse, Cam or Jameis? Is this the last chance for Jameis? Is this the last chance for Cam? And I'm like, oh, maybe all the shows today will talk about Mariota. You know, maybe they'll talk bad about Mariota, and that'll be something we can talk about on the show or do something. So I'm watching all the shows. And guess what? Every discussion on every network surrounding tonight's Thursday night football game was about.
Ramsey?
Jalen.
Wow.
Everybody talking Jalen. Well, who should trade for Jalen? What would happen if Jalen went here? What would happen if Jalen went there? Can they keep Jalen on the Jags? Should Jalen be this? And I guess to me, the way I look at this game, nobody's talking about this game. Nobody's talking about the Titans. Nobody's talking about the Jags. But if they lose this game, with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, with a week of distraction, you can't tell me the Jalen Ramsey story is not a distraction inside that Jacksonville locker room. It's all anybody's talking about. And then on top of it, there's no Nick Foles. The Jaguars defense does not look like the Jaguars defense of the past, the things that we're used to seeing. If they lose this game, will we look back on it this season and will we think about Buffalo? Will we think about Arizona, San Francisco? Will we look back on a Titan loss today as one of those kind of crippling, how did you lose it, Arizona kind of losses?
Yeah, in my mind, I'm not sure it's the same just because this is a division team.
Which means it's probably even worse.
Well, yeah, from a winning the division standpoint, certainly is. But, I mean, it's not the same because, you know, in theory, most teams go into division when you're playing division games, think you're going to split across the board. Mm-hmm. You think you're going to win one, lose one with each of the division teams. One team, the team that wins the division, will jump out and win 4, maybe even 5, maybe even 6. And they'll sweep the division and they'll go ahead and win the division and go on into the playoffs, happily ever after. But generally speaking, if you look throughout the years, I think most teams look at it and they're, you know, kind of going in thinking, okay, we messed that one up, but we'll get it back with any of the division teams. So I'm not sure it's quite the same in my mind. I mean, it doesn't, you know, losing to anybody right now is not going to help you. Mm-hmm. That being said, this is game 3, you know. If this was game 17, and you, like last year, and you were had to win it to get to the playoffs, and you didn't win it, that is big time. That crushes you.
Well, Buffalo wasn't crippling because they still had a chance to make the playoffs after they lost to Buffalo last year.
Right.
But you go back to how important that Buffalo game really was, and I mean, that was an important game at Buffalo that they lost, and they had no business losing.
Well, it was important only because if you would have won it, the last game wouldn't have been important, the one that you lost.
Although technically that's not true. The Titans have told me that that both Indy and the Titans would have been 10-6. Had Indy won Week 17 against the Titans, they both would have been 10-6, and Indy would have had the 2-win tiebreaker.
Would have had what?
The 2-win tiebreaker because they won the 2 games against the Titans.
What was their division record, though?
It doesn't matter about division record, I guess, because
no,
the spot.
Division record's the next most important thing.
No, but head-to-head, the Titans lost.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you can lose both division games, but if you win the four, I mean, like say against Indy, if you win the four other games and you lead the division and wins, you win the division.
I thought that was only in the instance of a three-way tie.
No. I think it's only in the instance of a two-way tie, actually. But if you lose to a team and you win every other game, you still got a chance to win the division. Now, if you're even across the board, you know, then and the tiebreakers come up, then that is the number one tiebreaker.
Which the head-to-head.
Yeah, which is head-to-head.
And so the Titans and Indy would have been at 10-6, each for that last playoff spot. And the tiebreaker would have been the head-to-head, which Indy won. So that's just semantical, though. That's what the Titans have told me, whatever. Again, the Buffalo loss, in my opinion, crushing last year. The Miami loss, a lot of, you know, crazy circumstances led to that, crushing. Sunday's loss, crushing, but not necessarily crushing for the season. Like, it was crushing in that instant because you had the game. You had it. And you obviously went and lost it. This game, I mean, Floyd, I know that you're always worried, and I get it. And there's things that worry me about this game, too. But Jacksonville, where we sit today, Jacksonville stinks.
San Diego, did you say? San Diego stinks?
I said Jacksonville.
San Diego with the rookie quarterback that's going against us at Vandy when we were at 8-8. The next year we went to the Super Bowl.
And y'all stunk.
The very next year. And what happened that game?
You're talking to third grade Jared Stillman. You're talking to Jared Stillman who didn't even watch football.
And I
Jared
thought
Stillman.
You would have learned your lesson from that game.
In the first game. Look, I've seen the Titans lose games that you go into the game and you say, you cannot lose this game. Just you can't lose this game. And I'm with you. A 1-2 start is not the end of the season. I mean, I've seen 1-4, and the Titans have been reeling them off. This is a division game after a division loss. You would be 0-2 in the division, in a division that's going to be pretty tough, I think we all believe.
I think you're right.
And you're going to need division wins. You're going to need AFC wins. I mean, you got in 2 years ago in 9-7 as the fifth seed because you won every game in the AFC, basically. You didn't get in the next year at 9-7 because you lost every game in the AFC. And, I mean, so I count AFC wins. That's why I thought the Cleveland game was such a big win on top of everything that came with being 1-0 was that it was a road AFC win. And for me, I just look at this season and I think this Jacksonville – and Jacksonville may grow into being a good team. I doubt it, but they might. They may grow up and be a good team this year later in the season, but right now they're not a good team. And they are filled with distractions. And they have a ginormous question mark at head coach. And they have Jalen Ramsey. And I don't even know if Jalen's going to play, even though they say Jalen is going to play. But you have that whole circus that's going on at the same time. And I just think, man, if you walk out of this game and you're 1-2 and all the questions surround your quarterback and your team can't get through this kind of hurdle, man, it feels like it's going to be tough to climb out of these kind of holes unless you just do things that we don't see coming.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to be 1-2. I'm not saying that. You know, that mm-hmm. being said, I mean, there are going to be a lot of teams after this weekend that are 1-2.
I know.
And now, do you want to be one of them? No. I want to be one of the 3-0 teams. Really? Yes. But it doesn't mean that the season's over. It's not mean that we're done. Okay, let's take it in. No, you go right back to work and you figure out a way. And it just means down the road, like we say every year, you got to win one of those games that you probably shouldn't win. We've been able to do that for whatever reason.
The one thing I take a ton of solace out of with the Titans, and I know you don't, but I do, is that you are owned by the Colts, but you own Jacksonville. And you got to hope that you got owned by the Colts last week. So now you got to hope that that continues and you own Jacksonville today and you beat Jacksonville. And then, look, I mean, 2-1 going to Atlanta, that's not the end of the world. 2-1 going to Atlanta, I mean, quite frankly, I think you could probably beat Atlanta. So you're 2-1 going to Atlanta. You get Buffalo after that. There's no way the Titans lose to Buffalo this year. They that'll be the most motivated game you see them play this year.
3-0 Buffalo?
Buffalo's not 3-0. Who do they play this week?
I don't know. But they're 2-0 for sure.
They beat the Jets and the Giants.
I don't care.
Jared and Floyd might be able to beat the Jets and the Giants. Jared and the GM versus the Giants. We have a shot. So, again, I guess Floyd and I are disagreeing to start the show. I don't know if we've ever done that before. This may be a first of the first time we've ever disagreed. I believe a loss today, it is a devastating loss.
Devastating?
Devastating. Oh. If they lose to Gardner Minshew, who's not very good, and the Jacksonville Jags.
Devastating.
Devastating.
Is way too strong.
It's the Jacksonville
way
is such a mess.
Too strong.
You'd be 0-2 in the division after
if
you,
when you
crapped
lose
away the game
a championship game, that's devastating. You lose a Super Bowl, that's devastating. You lose a playoff game, that's devastating. You lose a chance to get into the playoffs, you can maybe even classify that devastating. To lose the third game of the season, you don't want it. But it's a long, long way from devastating.
Was Arizona and San Francisco devastating?
That was, if I remember right, that was game 13 and 14?
I think so.
Yeah. And the farther you get into the season, the more important those games are.
Was Buffalo devastating?
Buffalo was in the middle of the year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was like week 5, week 6.
Yeah. Again, if we'd
beaten... You were 3-1 and you lost to Buffalo.
If we would have beaten Indy, we'd never even mention Buffalo. Because we
still
been
talk
in
Arizona
playoffs.
San Francisco. They got to the divisional round of the playoffs.
If we would have beaten Buffalo last week, I mean, if we would have beaten Indy last year, Buffalo wouldn't even be an item. The only reason it's an item is because you go back and you look at the teams that you think you had a chance to beat, that you should have beat. And if you would have won those, then that would have gotten you over the hump. And Buffalo's one of those teams.
So my gut tells me this. If you had beaten Indianapolis, then the Jacksonville loss, if you were to get it today, would not be devastating.
If what? Say again.
If you had beaten Indianapolis on Sunday, then a loss today would not be devastating. But I am coupling it together. Oh. I think if you lose today, it is a devastating loss. What do you think? Let's take your calls. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Live from the George Jones today, Jared and the GM. We'll have the pregame show starting at 5 o'clock. So get excited about that. 615-737-1025 with your thoughts. There is one thing about Jacksonville that scares the ever-living daylights out of me. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the George Jones. Hey, this Monday night, Tullamore Dew is having a Monday night football watch party at Neighbors Bar in Germantown. 102.5 The Game's Jared and the GM show, that would be this one, will be live on location, and Tullamore Dew and Brews are only $6. That's this Monday night at Neighbors Bar, 313 Jefferson Street in Germantown. Why are you looking at me like that? We'll be there from 2 to 6. Jared and the GM... It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Road teams haven't generally fared well since the league instituted the Thursday night package. What's the biggest challenges to overcome in order to play well on the road on a Thursday?
I think it's important that we continue our preparation. Our preparation will need to lead up all the way until, you know, pregame warm-ups start, you know, really, because we don't have the opportunity to, you know, work our normal, you know, what would be day before the game here at home. And in a short week, those are still critical hours, and that we continue to use the time when we travel to study on the plane, to when we get there, have really good meetings, and then Thursday continue that process. And so this will be something that'll lead us all the way up to pregame warm-up.
Mike Vrabel says, hey, the preparation leads into pregame. Floyd, do you buy that?
Oh yeah. No. I mean, these games, these short weeks, I mean, you are cramming probably at least minimum of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday into walkthrough Tuesday, Wednesday. So, I mean, you are cramming a whole bunch of stuff into a little tiny box.
I will say this. When I worked in women's basketball, we played in the NCAA tournament. You'd have a whole week to prepare for a game, and then you'd beat a team, and then you'd have a day off, and then you'd play the team that played the other team. You play the next day. And I remember there was like an outdoor basketball court at this hotel we were staying at, one of them. And we went out there on the court, and they went over like introducing something so that when they got on the practice floor, they'd be able to go right into it, because you only have one practice to get ready for the next opponent. And this is probably very similar to that. Now, as far as today's game is concerned, if you were to look at the numbers, you were to look at everything, in my opinion, other than the fact that road teams struggle on Thursday night football, There is nothing that makes you think the Jags should win this game. They have a backup starting quarterback who's not very good.
The backup has thrown for more yards than has our starting quarterback.
Can I
by
finish?
About 150.
Can I finish? They've been down the whole time he's been quarterback.
That's an excuse?
The backup quarterback is not very good. The Jags defense, that vaunted Jacksonville defense, the great Jacksonville defense, they don't look the same, at least to me watching the Texan game, which I watched. They did not look the same as I'm used to seeing them. Jalen Ramsey has just completely distracted the locker room, might play. That might be a distraction in and of itself. And yet there is always something about an 0-2 team playing at home that is like Custer's last stand in the NFL. And they are going to give it everything they've got to not go to 0-3, because even though you usually know when you're 0-2 and you've got a backup quarterback and you're not very good, you usually know the season's over, you say to yourself, well, we can't go to 0-3, because if we go to 0-3, this is our season, and we go to 0-3, the season will be over in September. And because of that, I think I don't know how Jacksonville's going to play today. I don't know if Jalen's ruined that whole team and they're going to come out with their heads down and the Titans are going to just come in there and boat race them. I don't know if you're going to see the most inspired football you've seen from the Jacksonville Jags since they beat New England last year. I don't know. But that does scare me going into today's game, is the fact that they are 0-2.
Right. And they held a team that we struggle to beat whenever we play them to, 13 points?
Mm-hmm. Although, Watson missed a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, right. Okay. Nobody else does that. That 13 points they held them to. That defense that you don't like. 13 points. And the quarterback was, 24 for 25 or something like that for 200 yards?
I mean, I watched the game. He was not good.
Ah, okay.
He's not good.
And our guy was, 14 for...
He's not good right now either.
For 180
yards. He was not good.
So, he
But I'll promise you this. Brissett is better than this guy. And you held him to 150 yards.
Oh, I don't... Yeah, that could be. But, I mean, I'm worried about their defense. You said their defense was good. I'm telling you, they gave up 13 points. And the quarterback that you don't like played better than our quarterback.
He did not play better.
Okay.
He just threw it to the outside, threw to the checkdown, which, by the way, if Mariota would just throw to the checkdown, that would be a nice.
You know what's amazing to me? I don't know where this checkdown talk has all come from. Everybody talks about the checkdown like it's something magic. I listen to other shows. Why doesn't he throw the checkdown? Why doesn't he throw the checkdown? Do people understand checkdowns are a half a step ahead of getting sacked? That's all it is.
Yes, and we would prefer that than him getting sacked.
Right, but we think that's an answer to something. All that is keeping you from getting sacked. He's going to catch the ball and gain 4 yards, which is better than losing 4. I understand that. But if we think a checkdown is going to change the outcome of a game, we are mistaken.
If he throws to the checkdown on 3rd and 5 and doesn't get sacked, it may change the outcome of that football game.
On the other night?
Yes.
Oh, good, yeah.
Well, Minshew loves to throw to the checkdown, so you'll get a lot of that today.
Go on, good.
Again, I mean, to me, Jacksonville's team is that Jacksonville defense that you had to play last year in the early part of the season, that was a bad boy defense. The defense you played around Christmas time last year, that was a bad defense. And what I saw on the tape from the Texan game, I was not impressed by with that Jacksonville defense. And then the real unknown in this is Jalen, right? Like, Jalen's either going to just go out there and be a total bum and not want to be out there and not want to play and, you know, screw you, coach, and all that, or Jalen's going to go out there and play the best game he's ever played.
If he goes out there, he'll ball.
And I'm worried about that.
And if they go out there, I mean, we don't – this Jacksonville team is wounded, which makes them dangerous. They are. The coach is in serious trouble. They know that. The team knows they're on the edge. Jalen knows his situation. They are wounded. And they will do literally everything to win this game.
Let's go to your phones, and I don't disagree with that take, and that's a pretty good take. 615-737-1025. Dwayne is going to start us off here on Jared and the GM Live from the George Jones. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Hey, I just got a question. Did the Titans go after Antonio Brown?
No.
Why is that?
Because he's a bad guy.
Oh, so his reputation is more important than his athleticism?
Him being a bad teammate is more important than him being a great player, yes. I mean, I don't know, like, what the... Like, I don't understand, like, what the point of that was. The stunning nature of, hey, Oakland traded a third and a fifth for this guy, and they got rid of him. Like, yes, being a bad guy does matter in this league. Look at Jacksonville. They got a handful of bad guys, a handful of selfish guys, and that's why they have won two games over the last 14.
Well, it's always the same with a lot of people, which is if you're a good player, that bounces everything else. Doesn't matter if you're a bad guy. Doesn't matter if you've been hurt. Doesn't matter any of that. If you're a good player, you're worth getting on the team. And for a while, I think a lot of people believe that way, but no more. You know, people have learned over time that, hey, having those guys around is more of a pain. It's more distracting. It's going to end up costing you more games and more jobs than not having him. So let's just go do without.
And that goes back to all the Jalen talk, right? Like, my whole thing with Jalen is if you get Jalen Ramsey on your terms, then you have the chance of having a really doggone good corner. But if you get Jalen on Jalen's terms, where you trade two first-round picks to Jacksonville and then you sign Jalen to a billion-dollar contract, Jalen then owns the locker room. And Jalen has demonstrated that he is not a – when he's in charge of the locker room, he's not good for it.
Not good.
And so that's you know, again. And the other thing about this – and tell me if I'm wrong here, Floyd. I feel like in the NFL with these kind of guys, you can go one of two ways. You can either say, hey, nah, we're cool with all those kind of guys. That's what we want to be. Just give me the best players, i.e. Cleveland. Or you can say, hey, look, that's not how we are going to do things.
Yeah.
And most of the league says that's how we're not going to do things. The Jets, Cleveland, Washington, Oakland, Jacksonville, those are all the teams. Oh, no, we'll do that.
And most of those teams are teams that are struggling to win anything. And I think what they say in their minds is that, hey, if we can get this one weapon, this one guy to run down the field and catch balls thrown by our quarterback, or this one guy to lead the league in rushing, or whatever it is you expect him to do, then that could be the impetus to get us over the hump, to get us really going. And the truth is, you know, chances of it are like 0.0. Not very good.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Back to the phones. Plus, coming up next, Thursday Night Football against Jacksonville has become kind of an annual tradition, although not this early in the year. This is a little bit of a surprise. But what do we make of the fact that the Titans have pretty much had their way with Jacksonville on Thursday Night Football of late? We'll get into that next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025, the game.
What have you seen from the Jaguars on defense this year, and how much does it help having faced them so many times in your career?
Yeah, I mean, you said it best. When you've faced a common opponent as much as we have here, it makes these short weeks a little easier. At the same time, though, it's a tough defense year in and year out. These guys, since I've been in the league, they've been tough. So we know we have a challenge in front of us. You know, we talk about all the time just being good on third down, being efficient in the red zone. Those are important keys to this game.
Marcus talked about Jacksonville. They have been tough, which is kind of true in his career, but also kind of not true. And you go back to Marcus's career, 2015, Thursday Night Football at Jacksonville. The Titans lost in a game that was led by interim coach Mike Mularkey. And in that game, the offensive lineman decided to not hustle back to the line of scrimmage during a two-minute drill, which would have picked up a lot more attention had the Titans not been the worst team in the league. But they were, so nobody cared. In fact, D. Mace, Floyd, I don't know if you remember this, D. Mace went on a rant about Taylor Lewan after they lost that game. And Taylor Lewan ended up calling D-Mace like a year later and apologizing on the show for what he for I guess his play or whatever led D-Mace to throw a fit. Now, since then on Thursday Night Football, the Titans have kicked that Jacksonville rear end. They kicked it in 2016. They kicked it last year on Thursday Night Football. Derrick Henry to the tune of 238 yards and four touchdowns, both times later in the season, but were absolute blowouts. What do we make of the fact, GM, live from the George Jones, what do we make of the fact that the Titans have absolutely annihilated the Jags on Thursday Night Football as of late?
I mean, I'm glad it happened. I mean, it's nice, but it certainly doesn't have an effect on this game. I mean, you know, you and this is hard for people to understand. What you did last week, last year, last season has absolutely no bearing on this game. What you want to do next week, next season, next year has absolutely no bearing on what is going to happen today. And so you go out there, and that's why, what did coaches say? Coaches always say, hey, let's play this game. Let's win this game. After this one, we can worry about the rest of those. But I mean, it's nice to be able to do that. I mean, I'm glad they've done it. It's a nice little record. I hope to heck it continues.
I mean, I think that it says something about the fact that Jacksonville's not very well coached. That on Thursday Night Football, they just can't seem to get up. Because they can't turn it around. Now, the one thing about those two butt kickings on Thursday Night Football were they were both in Nashville. And the home team has a humongous decided advantage on Thursday Night Football. Plus, I kind of feel like those were later in the year, so Jacksonville had already given up on the season at that point.
Right.
I think Jacksonville doesn't even know where they are right now. So, like, they're probably telling themselves that the season's not over, but in the back of their head, they know it is because they know as soon as they trade Jalen that they're going to, you know, with Gardner Minshew, they're going to go back into rebuilding or do whatever they do, and they'll be picking third in the draft again. But if they play this game close, they can start to tell themselves, we're going to save our season tonight. And that's where I think Jacksonville is a huge wild card in some of this.
Yeah, I mean, if they jump out, and again, it's where are they going to be mentally? And we're making a big deal out of Jalen. I mean, it may actually be a relief to get Jalen out of that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Jalen from a jar of Vicks, and I don't know how he fits in that locker room. I don't know anything about it. He might be, you know, he might be the captain for every game he ever played in. I don't know any of that. But, I mean, I know you have to be concerned when every, you know, couple times a year he's going to go on some kind of a rant and it's going to affect your coach or your other players or an opponent or somebody. I mean, he has put his foot in his mouth more than most. Mm-hmm. I mean, more than a bunch.
I mean, you go back to the time that he ran down there and was talking trash. Or no, remember he said they were going to win they were going to go to the Super Bowl before they played New England, and then he runs down the field and starts talking trash to Tom Brady in warmups. You don't do that, Jalen. But I'm with you. But again, you know, maybe Jalen playing today is what ruins it all. Maybe the other thing too, what was funny is when Jalen plays the Texans and is on DeAndre Hopkins, Watson is kind of in this bind of, well, I kind of have to throw to Hopkins, because if I don't throw to Hopkins, you know, how am I going to move the ball down the field? Luckily for the Titans, I shouldn't say luckily, but the Titans don't have DeAndre Hopkins, and they don't even have one guy that is head and shoulders above everyone else like DeAndre Hopkins. If they just want
to
go put, you know, Jalen on Corey Davis, then goodbye, Corey. Yeah. Go throw to everybody else. Let's go back to your phones. Live from the George Jones, Brandon is up next on the Jacksonville defense. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan of the show. I got to be honest. I'm not sure if I agree with the take on the Jacksonville defense. I think that for a team that held a guy like Deshaun Watson and a good Texans offense as a whole to just 13 points and could have.
Did you watch a game?
They won that game.
Did you watch that game?
Yeah, I watched that game. I honestly think that when you compare the two and you look at Jacksonville's defense, they have Calais Campbell, they have Miles Jack. They have Yannick Ngakoue.
What did they do in that game, though? That, because to me, I saw Deshaun Watson overthrow Duke Johnson Jr. for a touchdown, and I watched Deshaun Watson mismanage a two-minute drive at the end of the half that should have led to a touchdown.
Which is fair enough to say. But as a whole, that's a better offense than the Titans. You have Mariota, who overthrows guys just as much, if not more, than Deshaun Watson does on a regular basis. You have no Taylor Wan, an average offensive line. And you're going to have to rely on Derrick Henry to get 100 yards and a touchdown.
I mean, I didn't say the Titans offense lit it on fire on Sunday. I'm just saying the Jacksonville defense the Jacksonville defense that we remember for the bad boy Jacksonville defense from 2 years ago, that ain't the same defense right now.
Which is fair enough, but we're not the same offense either. We don't have Taylor Watt. Corey Davis has been pretty much invisible. We haven't been able to get that offense clicking. We have a new offense.
Well, Corey Davis, Brandon, thank you for that. Corey Davis has been invisible since he was drafted, and the Titans have had offensive problems for the last handful of years.
I would think this. If I'm Jacksonville's defensive coordinator, after the way we just played Houston, there's not a lot that's going to scare me about our offense.
About Tennessee?
Yeah. I mean, if I just played them and played them down to the nubs, I'm looking forward to this game. And I'm going to put pressure on him. I'm going to do – because Deshaun Watson, you know, generally speaking, has played pretty good. Now, he's taken a lot of hits, too. We all know that. But he's been fairly productive, and I think that's the part that scares me. I mean, if I'm them, I'm saying, hey, here we are. We're coming every snap. We're going to cover you man for man. Get open. If you get open – and the quarterback can get you the ball. It's just like that thing, you clip you were just showing me a minute ago about how he threw in, what was that, his second year?
2016, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the closest guy is 3 yards away. I mean, I could throw those balls. Now he's throwing, stepping backwards most of the time. So, I mean, it's a totally different game, and I'm sure they're going to look at that and say, hey, sick him.
Do you really think the Jacksonville defensive coordinator, and you have been a defensive coordinator before, is going to look at this and say, hey, we shut down Houston, we'll shut down Tennessee just fine.
Oh, yeah.
After they gave up 238 yards and 4 touchdowns to Derrick Henry last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would take Derrick away.
You'd be shaking in your boots about Derrick Henry the way that he ate them for breakfast. And he has really eaten them for breakfast his entire career.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm going to be an 8-man front, and we're going to be playing man for man on all those guys. And if he can gain 238 yards against me, then you know what? They deserve to win. I understand that. But I'm gonna guess that's going to be hard to do.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, yeah, maybe they should try Tannehill at quarterback. They're going to run an 8-man front, and I got to have the quarterback throw the ball. I'm not saying they should do that. I'm just saying I don't feel good about Marcus right now to say, well, you know, Marcus will just beat him through the air. I struggle getting excited about that.
And we'll probably do the same thing. You know, we'll probably get up there and say, hey.
Although they took Derrick away last year at Jacksonville in the 9-6 game. That was their whole thing, was to take away Derrick. Marcus couldn't even throw the ball, and the Titans found a way to win.
Yeah. Let's hope they can do it again.
You don't want to bank on that?
9-6.
9-6. 9-6. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We are live from the George Jones. Coming up next, one Hall of Famer says Jalen Ramsey would be a good fit on the Titans. The one thing I think the Hall of Famer's missing, we'll get to that coming up next. Hey, make your picks now for Silly Underdog Picks. 3 college football underdog teams you think will win this Saturday. The weekly winner will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville sporting event or a concert. Hit up the game Nashville.com or the mobile app and play today. Silly Underdog Picks is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Let's start, Shefty, with the information here. Let's get to the very – what is the latest on the trade talk surrounding Jalen Ramsey?
They are talking to teams. They're not going to deal him before tonight. And I think that they've got a good half dozen teams interested. But the fact of the matter is Jacksonville is not going to move him unless it gets what it wants. Now, it wants 2-1s. Do I think in the end, ultimately, that the Jaguars will get 2-1s? No. Do I think they'll get close to that? Yes. Close enough that they'll make the move.
So you heard Adam Schefter say they want 2-1s and they're not moving off their price, and he thinks they'll get close to that. Floyd, do you agree that they'll get 2-1s for Jalen Ramsey?
2-1s is awful steep.
For a guy that's demanding a trade?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they'll get 2-1s, but it'll be a nice trade for him. Now they're losing a quality player.
Now
and it's hard to, you know, it's hard to find those corners that can do all the stuff he can do.
So my gut tells me they'll get a first round pick, but that Jalen will go ruin whatever team he ends up going to. That's just what he does. And he doesn't. I mean, did you, when you listened to him in his press conference, did you hear 1 ounce of remorse for anything he's ever done during his, I mean,
it's not his fault. It's not his fault. It's the coaches.
According to whom?
According to him.
Oh, okay.
It's never his fault.
Never his fault. Hey, I had a good game. Okay, yeah. Good, there you go. Your team lost, Jalen. Congratulations. So, speaking of Jalen, everyone's been talking about where's Jalen going to go, what's he going to do, where's he going to be. Chris Carter, Hall of Famer on Fox Sports 1 today, outlines two teams he thinks would be a good fit, which also happen to be the two teams Jalen thinks would be a good fit.
I think there are certain places that would be better for him. I think the Raiders, John Gruden, they got the cap space. They got a really young team. They could use a corner play. They could also use a star going to Las Vegas. The Tennessee Titans, I do believe Coach Coombs, he was a legendary high school coach, coached at Ohio State. He only coached in Ohio until last year where he took the job in Tennessee. Vrabel, who has experience at Ohio State, went there and got him. He is a great defensive back coach in his hometown there with the Titans. So the Raiders are the Titans, I feel, are the smoothest transitions for him, for a guy that has that type of skill set. Big corner, wants to play a lot of man-to-man, and as we said before, he's from Tennessee and wants to go back there.
So he's talking about Kerry Coombs, and of course, Chris Carter's an Ohio State guy, so we can't go 5 minutes without talking about Ohio State, and I get it. But I'm listening to him talk about why Vrabel and Kerry Coombs would be a good fit for Jalen. I cannot see a planet where Jalen Ramsey is a good fit for a Mike Vrabel coach team.
Well, he said the best fit for Jalen, you know, the best thing that would, the smoothest transition.
Vrabel kick him out of the locker room
Jalen.
5 minutes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we're not talking about the other side of it, you know, whichever team you're talking about. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that Oakland would be the number one suitor, if you're talking about those, because I just don't think he's going to have much value here. I mean, I don't see him, and I agree with you, I don't see him and Mike getting along at all. I don't see him changing, especially after a giant trade like that, and he gets a giant contract. You know, there'll be no reason for him to change. So he's going to have to fit into some place that will adjust to him rather than him adjusting to their locker room.
Well, I'll say this. Can you imagine Logan Ryan dealing with him? Jalen comes out and does all his crying, and you got Byard and Logan Ryan and Vaccaro. Those guys aren't going to put up with it.
And the sad part is that he would probably be the best thing that would happen to the kid if he would listen.
Oh, if he had come in as a rookie. Although, Jalen, you hear stories about Jalen in high school around here, and, you know, he sounds like a total kook. Like, let's just call it what it is. I mean, Jalen sounds like a total selfish, moronic kook. You know, just he just is crazy. And I guess for me, like, I don't know if Jalen would have ever taken direction from leadership or from a good head coach, but he was never going to do it in Jacksonville with no leadership and no head coach.
Oh, no.
And so that's where they really messed up.
And he goes in there and he plays for a little bit, and everybody goes, wow, this guy's the best player we got. Well, all of a sudden, now he's in charge. You know, I'm the number one draft choice. I'm a number one corner. I'm a this, that, and the other. And everybody kind of goes, yep, yeah, he is. So,
well, I just don't think – so I don't even think that DB room would like him, because if he had come in as a rookie to the Titans – it might work out for him, because he would have looked up to Logan Ryan, maybe or something like that.
And the locker room would have adjusted him, I think, a little bit more than him adjusting the locker room.
You know my favorite part about Chris Carter saying, hey, Oakland would be a good fit. They got the cap space. They need a star. Gruden, didn't Oakland just try this about a month ago?
Would it be something to think about Oakland and the four or five players they've gone through in the last 4 or 5 months, and how much money they spent or could have spent, and how many great players they lost, and the two guys they lost initially that they didn't want looked like the best possible teammates, And the guys that they keep bringing in get worse and worse and worse.
Oh, the guys they got rid of are the guys you pay.
Yeah.
You know, those are the...
I don't know.
Let's go to Mark, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. We're live at the George Jones pregame at 5 on Jalen Ramsey. Go ahead, Mark.
Fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, Floyd, you know, I understand everything you're saying about him, and that would worry me, too. I think one draft picks is way too steep, but there's two receivers that kill us every year, and that is T.Y. Hilton and Hopkins. And we don't have anybody to keep on them, and if we were to get him, we would have somebody that could possibly shut them down. And that would be the only reason that I would consider wanting to put him on our team. And just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
And I think you're right. And I think that would be, if you were going to do that and just played those games, I would agree with you. I'd say you got to do that. The problem is you've got all these other games that you've got, you know, additional 12 games you've got to play. And I don't know, not that he can't shut down virtually any receiver in the league, but you wonder what's going to happen in, you know, all the time that he's not covering those guys. And I'm just afraid there'd be an awful lot of negativity.
Yeah, I mean, like, the obvious thing, right, like, in a perfect world would be, and let's say Jalen holds enough weight, like Antonio Brown, where he just, you know, just screws it up enough to where he gets to go where he wants to go. And let's say Jalen wants to come to Tennessee, and Jalen vows to do right and not act up and gives you a contract that you're willing to live with, which he's not going to do, but let's just throw that out there. I mean, it'd be an obvious thing to give them Malcolm Butler and take Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's an upgrade from Malcolm Butler, and then, you know, Malcolm costs a lot of money, so you give them Malcolm, and then you give Jalen that money on, like, a non-guaranteed basis. That'd be great. Well, but the problem is Malcolm Butler's a pretty good corner, and Malcolm Butler's a good teammate. And Malcolm Butler works here. And Malcolm Butler gets along with the coaching staff here. And Malcolm Butler is a pretty good player himself. So, like, if you had to look at it simply as, would you rather have Malcolm Butler without the headaches or Jalen Ramsey with the headaches? I go Malcolm Butler without the headaches.
Oh, and I can understand that completely. I mean, the sad part about Jalen, I mean, it's just like this. You know, you're going along. I mean, this whole thing, the way I understand it, and again, I don't have the history that a lot of people have, is he got a pass interference penalty, and he didn't think it was a pass interference penalty, and he wanted the coach to challenge it. And the coach didn't challenge it, and that's where it stemmed all from. I mean, is that the dumbest reason you've ever heard? I mean, it's unbelievable, and it all comes from that.
And that's, I mean, why that's why you'd want to demand a trade?
Yeah. And if that's the case, then, I mean, he's constantly an inch away from doing the same thing over, you know, his locker being too close to the door.
Well, how many times did we look at something that Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell did when they were in Pittsburgh and say, well, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
And AB goes to Oakland, gets the money, and everything he does is
stupid.
Well, that's stupid. Yeah. Like, that's stupid. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was bad enough dealing with Rishard Matthews and all of his stupid stuff when he was here. But he at least, you know, kind of contributed and didn't make the other players mad.
But the hard part about those guys is just like what scares you about these guys. You get to a point in the season where, you know, you're probably going to really start counting on him. Where'd he go? He quit? He's leaving? He what? You know, this is the NFL. You don't do that. But that's what happened. And you know, they're probably saying the same thing there.
I think it's really hard in life to deal with the kind of people who, if they feel disrespected, you can't convince them that they were not being disrespected.
They're not rational.
You know what I mean? Like some people, because, like, we've all been there where we feel like someone disrespects us, and it's like, Floyd, you totally disrespected me there, and then you talk it out, and you go, you know, maybe your intention wasn't to disrespect me, or maybe I give it 5 minutes, and it really wasn't that big of a deal. Who cares? Whatever. Yeah. Whereas, you know, like, Matthews felt disrespected because he walked into Matt LaFleur's office and said, I want my starting spot back, and LaFleur said, you're going to have to earn it. Like any coach says anywhere, all spots have to be earned every day. Now, the Titans were like, hey, essentially you could tell J-Rob, and then we're like, Rashard, when you get healthy, you will get your starting spot back because you're better than all these other guys. But you have to earn it because we can't just give you your position. And he felt disrespected, and he said, I'm disrespected, I'm out of here. And it's the same thing with Jalen, because Jalen gets mad that the coach won't listen to him about the pass interference or they call some zone defenses, so he's not manned up with Hopkins, and he feels disrespected, and nobody is going to be able to talk through Jalen Ramsey to tell him that he is not being disrespected and needs to be a good teammate. And I'll tell you who would never put up with that. Mike Vrabel. Because that's not where Vrabel comes from.
And it's really, really difficult to deal with those irrational people like that, because you're never right. You know, whatever. I mean, you try to talk to them. They come to you about, you know, well, you need to throw the flag. Well, have you noticed that nobody is challenging these? Nobody's challenging these because they don't ever get overturned. It's not working. It's not, they're not going to let it happen. And he would not understand any of that. You know, so you're saying, I'm trying to explain to you what happened. Oh, you should have. This one would have been for sure. He didn't catch it. Okay.
615-737-1025. The last time the Titans and the Jags met on Thursday Night Football, Derrick Henry ran for 238 yards and 4 touchdowns. What does Derrick's dominance against the Jags mean tonight? We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM live from the George Jones pregame show at 5. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.